Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, May 6th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
A second deluge of money for forest so-called thinning projects has just hit Oregon, and more is expected.
The terror watch list keepers haven't been keeping the list up.
And informants say that Blackwater guards tried to get them to dispose of weapons used in a 2007 civilian shooting in Baghdad.
Portland area weather, rain turning to showers later. Highs around 60. Tonight mostly cloudy with snow in the passes and lows in the 40s. And just about the same tomorrow.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. House Bill 2080, the Graywater Law, made its way from the Senate committee to the House yesterday. Brenna Bell at Tryon Community Farm was at the session in Salem yesterday and joins us this morning to talk about what this means for Cascadians. Good morning, Brenna.
Hi, Chris.
So talk a little bit, if you could, about this bill, what Graywater is, and what happened yesterday.
Sure. First, gray water is the majority of water that people use in their homes. It's pretty much everything except toilet flushing. So water from your bath, shower, sink, laundry. Currently, that all goes into our sewer system when it's perfectly reusable water for things like irrigation. And so this bill would make it legal to use that water for irrigation and other outdoor purposes. Yesterday, actually, the bill was in Senate committee. It passed the House at the beginning or the end of March, and it was in the Senate committee, and it looks like it's going to go to the Senate floor. And it's just been a fantastic example of what public organizing can do, because people have been talking about this for years, and finally in the past year, with Recode Oregon and many other locally based grassroots groups, we've got it to go through the Senate. So we're really excited to see this work.
So, Brenna, just briefly in wrapping up, what are the greater implications of this law as far as our environment in Cascadia?
Well, I think there are two things. One is just the significant water and energy savings we'll see when we can start using water for another time rather than just flushing it all the way into the sewer. And the second is more conceptual change where we start to look at what we've once considered waste products and start to see them as beneficial and close the cycles again and have cyclical systems rather than just these linear systems with all this waste going out into the world. So I think it's really exciting on both levels for us to at least start that with our water.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Brenna Bell at Tryon Community Farm. Thank you so much for joining us, Brenna.
Thank you.
Urban growth is running up against farmland all around Portland. White-collar cowboys like the idea of the country, but not the sights, sounds, and smells of it. A few of the things they forgot about when they bought their own little Ponderosa. The trouble starts when the state DEQ gets called in to investigate complaints, and there are more conflicts to come as the Portland area designates land for development and growth spills over into farmland.
House Republicans blasted a wide-reaching wilderness bill yesterday and ridiculed its most high-profile supporter, singer Carole King. The bill would protect some of America's most beautiful and ecologically important lands. It would ban logging, oil exploration, and other developments on federally owned land in five states, including Oregon. It would also mitigate the effect of climate change on wildlife by protecting corridors that allow grizzly bears, caribou, elk, bison, wolves, and other wildlife to migrate to cooler areas. In all, it's the best thing that could happen for the environment to come along in a long time. And predictably, the Republicans hate it.
Here comes the rain of money again. Oregon will get $51 million in federal cash to put people to work in the woods in coming months to reduce fire hazards and improve forest condition. Note to feds, the best way to cause fires is to put more people in the woods. This is the second round of forest-related projects flowing to Oregon from more than $1 billion appropriated to the U.S. Forest Service. More Oregon projects are expected soon.
And so we're thinning the forest, generating more logs, naturally. Warehouser company, meanwhile, their first quarter losses deepened as the near-dormant housing market knocked down sales of its lumber and wood panels. The company, like other lumber, pulp, and wood producers, is struggling with a three-year slump in housing that sparked the current recession. With relatively few homes being built, there's little demand for 2x4s, plywood, decking, and other wood products that generate revenue for companies such as Weyerhaeuser.
In these times, renters lose out when the property they live in gets foreclosed. Senator Suzanne Bonamici, a Democrat from Cedar Hills, is urging her colleagues to vote for Senate Bill 952. The bill strengthens the rights of tenants living in property subject to foreclosure. The proposal passed the Senate 25-4 yesterday. It would require that tenants receive advance notice of a foreclosure and allow renters with long-term leases to stay for up to 60 days after a foreclosure sale.
And in Washington, Microsoft said yesterday that it's going ahead with action on thousands of the 5,000 job cuts that it announced earlier this year. Microsoft chief executive Steve Ballmer left the door open to even more cuts. When Microsoft announced its first ever company-wide layoffs in late January, the software maker immediately cut 1,400 positions, with the remaining 3,600 cuts to come over an 18-month period. Well, that's arrived. And I imagine how those people must feel when they hear the ads on National Public Radio for the Gates Foundation claiming to be helping people live happy, productive lives.
Also in Washington, the number of people enrolled in the state's temporary assistance for needy families has risen by about 18% in the last year. And state officials are looking for more federal money for the program. Wouldn't it be simpler to call a moratorium on layoffs for 6 months to a year to keep people in their houses, families together, and taxes rolling in? Businesses already get a huge tax break. Here's a way for corporate America to say, thanks for the free ride.
And we finally have the moment we've all been waiting for. We have an official state dirt. The Oregonian newspaper reports that the House yesterday easily passed a bill making Jory soil the official state dirt. It's named after Jory Hill in Marion County. Soil scientists say Jory soil contains the dirt most representative of the state. How they figure that out, we still don't know. The state dirt is in line now behind a House measure approving Dungeness crab as the official Oregon crustacean.
Many Oregonians still can't find Iran on a map, even with the name of the country printed on it. Many of these people don't know that Iran is not an Arab nation. And the closest many have come to the Iranian economy is tipping a belly dancer. Nonetheless, Senator Brian Boqvist is trying to make it personal for every member of the state Senate. Yesterday, the doughty conservative passed out the names and photos of every Oregon service member killed in Afghanistan or Iraq. Now Boqvist is pushing Senate Bill 633, which would block state investment in companies doing business with Iran.
That's right. Support our troops. Destroy the economy of a nation that's got absolutely nothing to do with fighting America. Now we go to national news. Back in February, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner said that putting the nation's biggest banks through stress tests was vital to getting the financial system back on solid ground. Most of the rest of the nation is pretty much undergoing a stress test right now, so why not add the banks to that? This is an interesting concept at the time. It's probably another case of closing the barn door after the horse has escaped, but nonetheless, this is what's going on, and banks, of course, don't like it one bit. We'll have to see how the markets respond. Here this morning, though, to respond right now is KBOO Spencer Raymond. Good morning, Spencer.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. What you mentioned there, the stress test, basically what that is a test that it's basically a what-if test that the government kind of analyzes the big banks with. It's saying, you know, what happens if inflation increases? What happens if unemployment increases? Can the American banks remain viable and remain functioning? Initial indicators saying that some big banks like Wells Fargo, being one of them, Citigroup, Bank of America, may not actually have enough capital needed for something like a, you know, 22% drop in home prices over next year is what I saw, or unemployment reaching 10% on the national scale. Chris, though, the important thing to think about, though, is when the government releases the reports they're due out today on how these banks do in these stress tests, they do not, the government does not want to give any indication that these banks are weak in any way. They want to give these banks a passing grade. But if most people expect a passing grade for these banks, what good does these stress tests do if everyone is just going to get a passing grade anyway? Because the last thing the government wants to do is to create some sort of scenario where people lose confidence in the banks, and less, you know, and there goes the capital, there goes people who don't want to invest, people will hold on to their money, and it's back to where we started, you know, in October.
And so we have to, on the one hand, create the appearance that something's being done to regulate the banks, but at the same time get them to lend money again. That's all we've got time for. It's an immensely complicated topic, though. Thank you so much for that. That was, of course, KBOL's reporter Spencer Raymond joining us, as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt. Thanks, Spencer.
A Justice Department audit has found that the FBI is slow to update the National Terror Suspect Watch List. The watch list currently contains more than a million names.
And federal investigators say a defense contractor charged with trying to smuggle weapons out of Iraq told government informants that Blackwater guards wanted him to help get rid of weapons after a 2007 shooting in Baghdad.
Gulf countries moved a step closer to monetary union yesterday with a decision to base a planned future central bank in Saudi capital of Riyadh. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Wednesday, May 6, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM.